cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. He says that if you will put your bread out on the water, then you can go and look, and if you went on to read that passage, it would say it will come back to you in 7 or 8 different ways. But what do we have to do first? We got to put our bread on the water.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2.
That God will give you everything that you need. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 6. And this is speaking of Elijah, the prophet. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a jar or in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering sticks that I may go and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat and that we may die. This selfish man of God, he wants this lady's last. She said, he said, look, make me some bread. She said, look, bro, she said, we only have a little meal left and a little bit of oil. And she said that I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to eat this meal, and we're going to die. That's all we got. And so the story continues, and Elijah said to her in verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first and bring it to me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be used up, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her son and her house did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal was not used up, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Look, make me a cake and bring it here. And you won't run out of meal and you won't run out of oil. And she was obedient to do what the man of God said. What did she do? She gave. And because she gave, every morning she would go and get meal out of the barrel. Get some oil out of the jar and make cake. Next day, she'd go. When is this barrel? When is this going to run out? It's not going to run out until it rains. That you will have your need met as long as you are obedient to do what God tells you to do and you give out. Now, what if she'd have said, man, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to give you my last cake. You know, I got a little boy in this house. You know, I got to feed my son. Me and my son going to eat. So if she would have consumed it all upon herself, she would have missed her blessing. Why? Because she didn't give. Saints, we need to realize that there's more power in the open hand than there is in the clenched fist. We think that if we put up our dukes, we got power. But God says, open your hands and you got power. And when we open our hands and become a individual who will be like that Jordan River, who will take in and give back out, God will meet our needs. Luke 6:38. That's right. That's in your notes. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it will be measured back to you again. And so, you know, when we get chinchy, right? When we get chinchy and we break off a little, you know, we see a need, right? And we break off a little something-something, right? I mean, we got this big something-something, but we break off a little something-something. And we give it. What did Jesus say? With the same measure that you meet. Let me put it in the Homeward translation. In the same measure that you broke off, it will be broke off to you again. All right? The same measure that you broke it off, it will be given to you again. So if we will just learn how to be giving individuals, God will bless us exceeding and abundantly more than we can ask or think. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we have sown to the Spirit, we will reap to the Spirit. And if we will give, God says that we will reap." Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. "Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days." He says that if you will put your bread out on the water, then you can go and look, and if you went on to read that passage, it would say it will come back to you in 7 or 8 different ways. But what do we have to do first? We got to put our bread on the water. You know, I told some people, I said, "I'm going to preach a sermon one day. Don't be at the airport when your ship comes in." See? And a lot of people are looking for their bread to come, and they haven't put anything out there. You looking. You can keep on looking. You're going to be looking for weeks and months and years, because nothing is coming back because you didn't put anything out. I mean, it's a biblical principle. If you put something out there, Solomon said it'll come back in 7 or 8 ways if you put it out there. So the question becomes, are we giving? Are we givers? I'm just not talking about money. I'm talking about a giving spirit. You know what lets me know that most Christians are probably not givers? As I said a couple weeks ago, if you go to the restaurant and you talk to waiters and waitresses, I don't know if we have any waiters and waitresses in here, but if you talk to waiters and waitresses, they say the worst time of the week is Sunday afternoon. Why is that? Because that's when them stingy, tight-fist Christians come in here. Somebody said, "I'm just being wise." Okay. Now, see, I used to work in the service business, so, right? So I know. And you know, it's just something about your spirit. I'm not saying to be, give your money away and throw it away. But I mean, you know, that if you are a giving person, that it's indicated in several ways. And some people hold on to a dollar so tight that the eagle starts to holler. You know, you're not going to make it like that. Let that eagle go, bro. Let that eagle go, sister. Don't hold on to it. Because if you put it out there, the promise is that it will come back to you. In your notes, if you will, read along with me where it says, filling and refilling our cups. Filling and refilling our cups. Our spiritual giving is like a cup. We come to the Lord each morning, and He fills our cup. As we go through the day, it is empty when we give to others, both spiritually and emotionally. So here you are. God fills your cup with emotional, spiritual, financial blessing. Here you are, and you go through the day. And if you are a giving person, then you are, these rivers are flowing from you, and what are you doing? It's a good thing. You're emptying your cup. All right? You're emptying your cup. Now, you can either come to God during the day and ask him to refill your cup, or you can wait till the next day and let him fill it afresh and anew. The choice is yours. As you go and as you know, the choir sang the song this morning, you know, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Well, you know, I was sitting there when they were singing that song, and I was thinking about, what are they talking about? They're talking about as you go through the day, and as you give, and as you encourage, and as you meet needs, and as you minister to others, that your cup may run out. But if you take the time to praise him in the morning, praise him at noonday, praise him in the evening. See, what are you doing? I'm refilling my cup. I'm letting God fill my cup back up. That if I will stop periodically throughout the day and maybe just meditate on a scripture that he gave me that morning, if I will stop periodically through the day and just say, Lord, I just want to take a moment just to stop and praise your name, if I will take a moment during the day to crack the word of God and maybe read a verse, that I'm filling my cup once again so that as I give out, God is replenishing my resource. So we can either fill up during the day or we can wait till the next day and let God fill our cup afresh and anew. Channels of river flowing out from you. I like the song that says, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. That's what it means to give out. That the world is a better place because you're in it. And sad to see, you know, I look at, man, I was at the health club yesterday working out, and I saw just about every TV. Now, I listened to my music, so I couldn't, you know, didn't hear what they were saying. But every TV talked about this guy that had killed these 80, 90 some people in, what was it, Norway? And I just thought to myself, boy, here's a guy that has destroyed the world. Here's a guy that's working to destroy the world, wiping out the lives of all these people. And just think of all the families that have been devastated as a result of this guy killing all these people. And as we sit here as Christians, and God has called us to make this world a better place, and that we are not people like him who's bringing death into the world, but God has called us to bring life into the world. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and that you are to be a life giver. And sad to say that a lot of Christians are not like that guy from the fact that they are taking physical lives, but a lot of Christians are like that guy because they are killing people spiritually. You know, anger and bitterness and revenge. And here you are trying to destroy folks, and you're trying to bring folks down. And God has called you to be a life giver. He has called you to be a conduit for life. The last thing that I want to say today is found again in the last part of your notes. And that is giving according to God's agenda. It is important that we seek God for his agenda. If not, we may find ourselves giving to things and people not on his to-do list for us. See, you know, if I'm not walking, seeking the Lord, and trying to find out what God's will for my life is, then I might go and I might be given the things that God never intended for me to give to. I might be given to things that it's not in God's will for me to give to. So that's why I have to come to him. And I have to ask God, you know, God, direct my day. God, guide me and lead me in the way that you would have me to go. And as we submit ourselves to him, then we go through our day. God shows us not only, oh, somebody hear this right here. He not only shows us what we need to say to people, but if we don't know what to say, God will direct us to the resources that we need to send them to. I would not live my day. And I have, so I'm speaking from a preacher's standpoint, but to live your day and not be on God's agenda. And then you have all these needs coming your way, and you have all these people that seem to have needs, and you don't know which ones to meet because there's so many out there. And man, you know, just pick up your mail. You know, you got people, the hungry kids over here, and you got the homeless people over here, and you got the abused children over here, and you got the kids involved in sex trafficking over here, and you got all these needs. And how do you know which one to meet? I mean, you could go crazy with all the needs that are out there, but how do you know? You know because you get on God's agenda. And God speaks to your heart, and God tells you who it is that you are supposed to minister to, so that everybody that comes your way might not be a God-ordained appointment. But when people come your way, and the Spirit of God will quicken your heart, and the Spirit of God will let you know, there it is, right there. I was sitting at home back in February, my leg with a hole about a half inch deep and about 2 inches wide, just having surgery. And I'm sitting there feeling sorry for myself that I'm dealing with this situation. And then all of a sudden, on my television comes this mission that deals with people with leprosy around the world. Now, I thought that leprosy was a biblical disease. And I'm sitting there, and they first start talking about this little boy who leprosy began to eat off his limbs, and all he had was nubs. And it began to talk about how all of his friends had disassociated themselves with him, and how this little boy was isolated because of this disease that he had. And I'm sitting there with this hole in my leg, and I'm saying, man, I'm going to get better. That I'm trusting God that I'm going to heal up. But that little boy's never going to heal. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this lady come on who was married to this Muslim, and he had about 3 or 4 wives, and she got leprosy, and he just disowned her. And she was all out there by herself. And the Lord is speaking to my heart, saying, your leg is going to get better. But those people right there, there's no cure for what they're dealing with. And as I'm sitting there, and as I had that day prayed and committed my day to the Lord as best I could, what did God do? God put a need right in front of me. And I called them people, and I said, I want to start supporting your ministry. And right now, they're going to be, or some represented here at our missions conference in the fall. The American Leprosy Society. And it all came because I was dealing with something. The Lord quickened my spirit, and God put it in my spirit that we need to minister to people that have leprosy. See, every need is not a God-ordained need. Now, I have been watching Christian television all the day. There was people on there talking about water wells in Africa, and there was somebody else talking about the hungry in the Appalachian Mountains in West Virginia, and I mean all this other stuff. But God quickens your heart, and he lets you know how you are to give. And as we give, the songwriter said, if I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can help somebody with a word or a song, if I can help somebody from doing wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. My living shall not be in vain. My living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody while I'm singing this song, then my living shall not be in vain. If you could put up that last slide, I believe, that talks about evaluating your giving. I want you to write these down. At the end of the day, I want you to evaluate your giving. And you can ask yourself four questions at the end of the day. Ask yourself these four questions. Did I share a word of wisdom with someone from the Word? Did you share a word of wisdom? Was there somebody that you were able to give a Bible verse to? Or somebody that you were able to share something with from the Word of God that would open their eyes and that was able to help them? See, if you did, then you're giving. All right? Did I give a word of encouragement to someone who was down? You know, a great way to do that is if you know people in the hospital and you go visit folk that are in the hospital and you just go and give them a word of encouragement, you know, to somebody that's dealing with illness or somebody that's down and maybe emotionally discouraged. Did I give a word of encouragement to someone who was down? Did I show up act of kindness to a person in need today? You know, did I help an old lady across the street? All right. You know, did I do something kind for somebody today? See, we can go through all our day and we can just go through and it's all about us and we miss the opportunity time after time after time to give to somebody else. Did I show kindness to somebody today? And then, did I share my resources with someone experiencing hardship? Now again, financial or maybe otherwise, did I share my resources with someone experiencing hardship? And if we could lay down at the end of the day and look at this and say, I did one or all these things, then I can say, as the songwriter said, my living has not been in vain. You see, if I just go and I work an 8-hour job and I get a paycheck and I come home and that's all I do, that's vain living. That's vain living. Why? Because I'm working. Yeah, well, you know, I got to work. I got to keep the light on. I got to keep the, yeah, but who is that for? Well, that's for me and my family. All right, well, it's for you. So if it's for you, then it's vain. But if you will find a way to reach beyond yourself and to give beyond yourself, then you will know that your living has not been in vain. Now, sometimes our giving is to family, and we do that, and God honors that, and God recognizes that, and that's important, and that is a form of giving. But when we consume everything upon ourselves, then we've missed the mark. We are not like the Jordan River that takes in and gives out. And if we can lay down and put our head on the pillow at the end of the night, at the end of the day, and we haven't done any of these. And it goes on day after day after day after day. Then we really have to ask ourselves, am I a selfish person or am I a giving person? And God's desire is that we would be a giving person. And he said, and he gave us this promise in Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Father, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for the example.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Gethsemane, the place of crushing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.